Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So, one of our other regular correspondents on the economy is Pumlani Mjosi. He is a economist, he is a political analyst, and he's been someone who's been doing a lot of traveling recently, including to Israel. So what we're going to be doing pretty much soon is connecting with him and finding out what his travels have been like, what he's been seeing, you know, what is his viewpoint on what is going on in the GNU and where South Africa has to be going, because he has been giving us quite a lot of input into what has been happening around the country and around you know, different other elements that have been going on. So we're just waiting for Pumlani, and we're going to be chatting to him about his trip to Israel, his trip to Aspen, where he's been, etc. So all of these are interesting perspectives. Pumlani is an author. He's written a book called Lessons from Past Heroes, talking about how we can be inspired as South Africans using people who were past heroes in our country. So that is the engagement that we're going to be having with him. He has a massive Twitter following, and he likes to talk to people on Twitter and get their perspectives. So if you like his stuff, you should check out Pumlani M. Mjosi, which is his title on Twitter, and you can actually see what he has to say other than when he is on Chai FM, which he is in fact now. Pumlani, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Great to be here, sir. Great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
For sure. Always nice to have you on. Now, Pumlani,
you want to see me? No,
I mean, I don't mind seeing you, but this is a radio show, so so the listeners will just have to, whilst I can enjoy your lovely face, the listeners will just have to enjoy your lovely voice. What can I say? Now, Pumlani, whilst the rest of us in Johannesburg have been freezing cold over the last few months, you wouldn't even have known that it's been winter, because you've hardly been in the country. You've been flying all over the place, all over the world. And if people follow your social media, they'll get to see roving fields in Italy and the snow-capped mountains of America and all sorts of things, because you've been all over the place. But you've also been to Israel as part of what you've been doing. So before we get into anything specific, why have you been doing traveling so much in the last few months? What has been the purpose of all this running around and contributing so much to climate change?
contributing so much to climate change. Well, you know, I have been, it wasn't a vacation, it wasn't vacations, it was related to work, it was related to the Israel trip in May, it was a journalistic, mission trip. It was very insightful, and the USA trip, spending a month there, living in mostly in Washington, D.C., was also related to business, because I'm trying to, you know, to start an institution, a think tank that advances, you know, pro-market ideas. I think we do need that in South Africa, you know, that robust debate on how we should organize our economy, our society, what policies do we need. And I think that there's an opportunity to start something, you know, and going to a country like the USA and connect, make networks, engage people, get ideas, you know, get insights and advice. That was quite... That can be very helpful. Then I spent some time in Italy for a conference we're discussing what the liberation movements in Africa have gotten wrong. You know, in fact, basically the question was, what is it? Where did liberation movements, fail Africans? Right, the ANC in South Africa, ZANU-PF. in Zimbabwe, SWAPO in Namibia, and others in the African, in sub-Saharan Africa. Where did these liberation movements go wrong? Why did they fail to really change people's lives in a significant positive way? So that was quite, it's been an enriching time for me over the past few months. And I hope that you and I can touch on my time in Israel as well, just to give more detail of what I saw and heard there. Yeah,
so I want to get to Israel in a moment, but one of the things that did fascinate me about your trip to the States is you attended a very famous festival, the Aspen Ideas Festival, which is something that's known around the world as a place where people go to engage and think. You also conducted a panel there. You were part of a panel discussion. I don't think there were that many South Africans there, from what I could tell. So give us a bit of a sense about what that was like, being at an ideas festival as a South African. Were people interested? Are they worried about the country? Are they, you know, is there still what is the sense of South Africa at a place like that?
Well, firstly, I must say it was a huge, huge honor, very much a privilege to be there, not just as an attendee, but as a speaker. I think that was very important. It's really an event of insanely successful people in the West, most specifically in America. You know, there you hang around with people like Peter Thiel, you know, Gary Fee.
Peter Thiel, just for listeners, is the one of Trump's big backers, and he's a big guy on social media. Was he PayPal or something like that? I think.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the founders of tech companies, very big in tech. Yeah. So one of the very influential people in America, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock. You know, those are people you got to see there. You know, Fareed Zakaria of CNN, he was there. You know, in part as one of the speakers at that festival. David Brooks of the New York Times as well. He was there. I spoke to him, engaged him. And it says to me, yes, I did cover the end of apartheid in South Africa. It was quite an experience. So really, really amazing people that were there. And you know, you are right, almost no South African was them. It was me. And then there's another lady I met them. She's also a South African. And I'm sure there could have been maybe one or two people, but I very much doubt. But it's held in Aspen in Colorado, very beautiful place, a very, very expensive place where the properties can go, you know, up to $50 million. It's [S2] Wow. [S1] A place of the elite. So to be part of that and to be part of a panel, Benji, that discussed Africa in the 21st century, you know, where should Africa be? Where are we as a continent? What do we need to get right on reform? Right, on governance, on trade, how should the world see us? How should we aim to be seen, you know, in the world? And the argument that we made as panelists, at least the general consensus amongst us was that Africa needs to be seen as a business case, and that we as Africans, we need to project that in the eyes of the world. And that requires, by the way, taking huge responsibility or shoulder responsibility to reform, to be attractive to investment, not only, by the way, foreign and not only foreign investment. When people say we should be attractive to investment, some people in South Africa, they come and say, but we should do things ourselves, don't bring any foreign investors. But I mean be attractive as an investment place locally and internationally as well. You need local investment, you need productivity, you need people to do things that add value in the market, local people, but also be open to getting, you know, to things that you may not be able to produce. Be open to that. If there are things you cannot invest in, you don't have the skills, you don't have the knowledge, you don't have industries. If some people they come and say, we can invest in your country, we are going to employ your people, obviously, And that is good, you know. So it really was an honor to be part of the Aspen Ideas Festival this year. And a big shout to Tina Brown, one of the famous journalists in the West. She was the coordinator this year. I think she did do, you know, she did put together a good event in large part.
We're talking today to Pumlani Majozi. He is an economist and a political analyst. And I am Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM. You're listening to the New Blue Review. I'm Benji Shulman, and we're talking to Pumlani Majozi today about some places that he's been to and why he's been going. And one of them that he went to is Israel. He was there in May as part of a journalist and thought leadership interaction, and it would definitely be good for him to give us some perspectives. You know, the place is moving quite quickly, but still in May there was some stuff going on. So Pumlani, tell us a little bit about us. It's not the first time you've been in Israel. What was it like being there again?
Well, it was a great pleasure. I've always said that Israel is a country that whenever I go there, it really moves me. Spiritually, the things you get to learn, to understand the history of humanity, especially the Christian sort of, you know, Christian humanity, and to learn a lot. You know, when we were growing up as Christians, we heard about some places being referenced in the Bible, and those places you do find them in Israel, right? The nation of Israel itself. So to be part of that journey, it wasn't only just a journalistic sort of benefit. It was also a spiritual benefit, and to learn a lot about Israel. And by the way, I mean, coming to the politics of today, we always have this narrative, and I see this a lot on social media, Benji, where people will come out and say Israel is an apartheid state, it represses people. But then when you go there, you find out that actually people who are not Jewish, or people, I should say, to use race in the context of South Africa, people who look brownish like me, they're not oppressed. They're living their own lives in beautiful places like Tel Aviv, Jerusalem. They're living their own lives. They have a right to vote. They're participants in the parliamentary, proceedings of the country, in the democratic governance of the country. So there are a lot of narratives that are being spread out there for reasons that, you know, for different reasons. I don't want to get into that. But it's false, and to see that and experience it, it's something that is very huge. And to come back to the current events, that are taking place in the Middle East, the geopolitics, the war with Hamas, the war with Hezbollah, Israel's fight against militants in that region, and to be part of a team that got to understand the geopolitics complexities of the issue, right? To engage the people on the ground who are analyzing the Israelis, who are analyzing the matter and trying to understand what is happening and how their government should respond. I think that was very much powerful. And one most important thing to add, Benji, to be at the locations where October 7 attacks took place.
So you were there. You went to some of the kibbutzim and that sort of thing.
Yes, I was there. Went to the Nova Festival music festival site to walk there on those grounds and to reimagine the horror of the day of October 7th, right? To engage the victims or the survivors, I should say. It really was something that was moving. Right. And many of the survivors I engaged with were people who were looking for peace with Palestinians, right? At least before October 7, right? Who were some of them really taking an initiative, Benji, to be part of some programs to bring about that change, to bring about peaceful relations between them, between Israelis and Palestine. So, I mean, it was to be part of that and to see it. I did a few short videos that you helped me to put together. And those videos were quite powerful in terms of telling the story on social media of what I was seeing, right? And I also took photographs that I published to show people of what I saw. You know?
And what was the reaction? I mean, very few people on social media in South Africa are kind of brave enough to say, look, you know, I'm in Israel, this is what I'm seeing, you know, and because of the backlash that one gets on social media around this kind of stuff. So have you felt a very considerable wave of pushback because of just simply going there and saying what you saw?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. You do get that in SA. If you are vocal like us, you can't keep your mouth shut. You are concerned about global affairs and the direction of humanity, and you want to make a difference in people's mindsets and people's thinking. We are going to get a serious pushback. And by the way, these pushbacks, very much many of them are attacks, and they are not based on substance. They are based on accusations and what people see in the mainstream media, right? People, they take what they see. They see not only, you know, mainstream media, social media as well. You take a certain clip that you saw on TikTok, that becomes the basis of your argument, mm-hmm. right? Just that basic clip that you saw, a very short clip, a TikTok video, becomes the basis of your point of view or your argument. I've had to fight back. And it seems like I may have paid a price because I received, before my trip to Israel, I received two invitations to speak in two academic institutions. But then it seems like they've withdrawn them because I was supposed to speak in June and then they withdrew them and kept quiet. I didn't follow up to ask what is going on. It seems like I may have paid a price out of that. I may have paid a price for my views. But listen, Benji, it's okay. We need to stand with the people with whom your values align, right? And sometimes we are going to pay a price for that. And I've paid a price for it. How many prices I'll continue paying, I'm not sure, you know. But as you do that, there are other, you know, the world is made up of 7 billion people, or at least 7 billion people. Is it 8 billion now? Somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if some people don't like what you do, that's fine. There will be some other people who will do like what you do, you see.
And talking of people who like what you do, you have written this book, Lessons from Past Heroes. How has the reception to that been? The selling of the book, book invitations, what has been the reaction there? And what has the book been about?
Well, the book has been. I don't see anything negative with the book, right? I'm not seeing it at all. I mean, I'm a first-time author. I wouldn't expect to make some huge sales. Books hardly sell these days. But the reception of the book hasn't been negative. The people who are negative to my book are people who haven't read it. Because they saw my views and they said, I'm not going to read, I can't buy his book because it's Pumlan Majozi, you know. But the people who have read the book, there is no any hostility toward it. Because largely it's a book that touches on the real issues that we face in the country that I think are most important, not some political rhetoric that you see these days, you know, fueled by politicians who want to divide us, right? It's about the actual issues that are fundamental. And by the way, those actual very important issues, they get less attention. Mm-hmm. What gets more attention are issues that they stop people's emotions. You know, that's what people are good at, or politicians are good at, Benji. They look at the issue. You know, I was thinking today that politicians, Benji, they don't really care about the actual fundamental problems that people on the ground face, right? They don't care about those issues. Politicians pick up things that they know will stoke emotions, make them be on the headlines, and make them be seen as if they are doing something huge for the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pick up something that is insignificant, even from a statistic point of view. You run with it, you know, and manufacture a huge crisis out of that and say, here's a problem, we need to focus on this. Whereas that's not really the problem. The problem is right at the bottom. And the actual issues are exactly right there. Yet politicians, they don't go there, because sometimes it may be politically incorrect to go there.
Well,
but they choose issues that, you know, that are more, that they more, they prefer.
That they should do. Well, there you go. Certainly some words of wisdom from Pumlani Majozi there. Go check out his book, Lessons from Past Heroes. Or if you want to see his views on the economy and politics and everything else, you can check him out on Twitter. That's where he likes to go, Pumlani Majozi. He's got a big following, and he's always vocal on all sorts of things. Pumlani, thanks so much for joining us. Keep up the good work.
Pleasure, sir. Hopefully you'll invite me again.
Always, 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 always. Pumlani Majozi there. Go check out his stuff. I'm Venji Shulman. This is 101.9 Chai FM.